The scripture reading this morning will be taken from Jeremiah chapter 10, verse 20. O Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walketh to direct his steps.
Glad to see everyone here with us this morning. If you're visiting with us, we're happy that you're here. Hope that you'll be able to be with us once again very soon. Clyde gave me a call this morning and said that he and Martha had had a rough night. They weren't going to be able to be with us. And asked that I be able to stand and preach this morning as he had been planning on being able to preach. And as Clyde made the announcement last week that he is stepping down from the eldership, effective at the end of this month, in discussing some things with the elders, we thought that it might be of some good and would help us, I believe, if we would study last week and maybe this week some things concerning leadership within the church. So this morning, if you will, stay with me, we're going to discuss the principles of leadership. As we see here in Jeremiah 10 and verse 23, we realize that we need a leader in our lives. Now, leader needs to be God. Jeremiah says here, O Lord, I know. It's of a certainty to Jeremiah. He realizes that the way of man is not in himself. A man left to his own devices, a man left to his own ways, he's very soon to become shipwrecked, so to speak. He's not going to be able to make his way on his own. So he says, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walketh to direct his steps or his own steps. He needs some guidance. And friends, we find that guidance within the Word of God. The Bible is our guidebook, the book that we are to use to light our path. The psalmist writes concerning God's Word, the light is a lamp unto our feet, a light unto our path. And so if we'll hold that lamp up, that light up, and we'll show it along the path that we are to be traveling, we'll be able to see our way clearly. We won't have to worry about the obstacles. We'll be able to step over them and go around them as we ought to. But friends, in order to lead man, God has provided for man two undeniable truths, love and trust. And so as we discuss the principles of leadership this morning, we need to learn, number one, that trust and love, or love and trust, are the foundation of leadership. A man cannot lead as he truly ought to lead unless he loves the people that he's leading. God loves His creation. And He has set up a design for His church so that they will be led and be taken in the way that He would have them to go. It is God that leads man. His love for man is seen. We know that He loves us. John 3 and verse 16. For God so loved the world, all that creation that He made concerning man, the crown of creation when he created Adam. It was upon that point that He looked at the creation and said, it is very good. He loves man. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. In Romans 5 and verse 8, Paul writing to the Romans there talks about Jesus dying while we were yet sinners. There can be no doubt that God loves us. And friends, we can trust God. A leader needs to be trusted, doesn't he? Can we trust God? We can trust God. It was demonstrated over and over and over. God demonstrated His relationship to His people as that of a husband to his wife. Isaiah 54 and verse 5. Jeremiah 31, 32. Christ's relationship to His church is demonstrated as that of a husband to his wife. Should a wife not be able to trust her husband? A husband loves, provides for, and protects his wife, and the wife should have complete trust in her husband. And so it's seen that the foundation of leadership then, as exhibited by God, is trust and love. And friends, a leader must be trusted by those he seeks to lead. If the leader cannot be trusted, will the people follow? Not for long. When they realize that leader can't be trusted, the people won't follow. But not only that, a leader must love those he seeks to lead. People more readily follow if they realize that leader loves them. Leadership takes trust and love. Then number two, let's look at the true nature of leadership. Friends, the true nature of leadership is sacrifice, isn't it? Sacrifice for a leader is constant. A leader will give up his own rights for the betterment of the people that he leads. Someone has been quoted as saying, when you become a leader, you lose your right to think about yourself. As a leader, where was Paul's focus? 2 Corinthians 11 and verse 28, he talked about the care of all the churches that came upon him daily. He didn't put his own physical well-being ahead of the people that he sought to teach, that he sought to build up, that he sought to lead. The care of all the churches was upon his mind. Jesus prayed in Luke 22 and verse 42 as he was in the garden, looking at the cross, staring it in the face. He prayed to God that if there's any other way to let this cup pass from him. But the closing of that prayer was, not my will be done, but thine. Paul said that Jesus made himself of no reputation. Philippians 2, verse 7. And that same verse, the American Standard says that Jesus emptied himself. He made a sacrifice to lead man to God. Friends, leaders sacrifice. That's what they do. They sacrifice much that is good in order to give themselves to what is best, not for them, but for the whole. You think about Moses, as we read in Hebrews 11, verses 24 and 25, by faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. You think about everything that Moses had. Everything that he could have enjoyed as the son of Pharaoh. You think about the armies he could have commanded. You think about the riches that he had at his fingertips. You think about everything that he enjoyed. And he gave that up. Why? For the good of his people. He could have been selfish. He could have continued in those things. But rather than enjoy those pleasures, he gave himself over to God and his people. What about Paul? As we look at Paul in Acts 28 and verse 20, we read there, "For this cause therefore have I called for you to see you and to speak with you, because that for the hope of Israel I am bound with this chain." What's Paul saying? For the hope of Israel I am bound with this chain. Paul's in prison. But he realizes that he can do what's good for Christ. He can do what's good for the Lord's church where he's at, rather than necessarily as a free man. He writes to the Ephesians, Ephesians 3 and verse 1, "For this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles." Didn't think about his own well-being. You think about everything that Paul suffered. The beatings, the stoning, being shipwrecked, all for the cause of Christ. And then he says in that same chapter, in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, really, what is all that compared to the care of all the churches? And then we look at Jesus. The God-man that led mankind unto God. Philippians 2, verses 7 and 8, Paul writing says, "But made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross." Friends, if Jesus did not leave the glory of heaven and come to this earth and live the life that he lived and die upon the cross and shed his blood for the remission of our sins, where would we be? We'd be without hope. Jesus knew the nature of being a leader, and that is sacrifice. Thinking of the well-being of his people before himself. We need leaders to make that sacrifice and to lead God's people. And so as we think about that, friends, would you be a leader? Would you make the necessary sacrifice? And friends, think about this. Even if we don't necessarily have men that meet all the qualifications to be an elder, friends, we have a responsibility to God and to the Lord's church to start talking to our younger men here, to start teaching them as we ought to, so that we may raise up other leaders. You can still be a leader without necessarily wearing the name of an elder. That brings us to our third point. Leaders raise up other leaders. Leaders raise up other leaders. David killed Goliath and he ultimately became king of Israel. David showed a great amount of leadership at the age of about 17 when he stood up to Goliath. You had a king sitting in his tent, fearful to go out to face this man. And here's a 17-year-old shepherd boy, goes out and gets a sling and five stones and goes out to war. Tell me that's not leadership. He was thinking of his people before he was of himself. Been doing it all his life. During the process of him transitioning from shepherd boy to warrior to king, David raised up a group of men who were also leaders among God's people, and we refer to them as David's mighty men in 2 Samuel chapter 23, verses 8 through 23. Friends, they were not only leaders, but they were also defenders of God's people and willing to serve without distinction. We don't read a whole lot about David's mighty men. We get a little bit. We get snippets of what their life was like, of the things that they did. But we know that they were leaders. We know that they led people. Jesus Christ, you think about his entire earthly ministry, it was, when you really think about it, what was the whole process of the 3.5 years that Jesus was preaching and teaching upon this earth? He was maturing the apostles to carry on his work. He was raising up other leaders. Friends, when we look at Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, he trained men to be leaders and he left them in places to lead. You think about the letters that he wrote to Timothy. He wrote to Titus for the entire purpose of having him appoint elders in Crete. He had made Titus a leader and he was to raise up other leaders. Friends, leaders do not try to keep others down, but help build them up. Build up their skills to become leaders themselves. Here's a real world fact for you. In 1998, I know it's a long time ago, but in 1998, half of the coaches in the NFL could be traced to two different, half of them now, 30 teams in the NFL, if I'm not mistaken. And half of them in 98, 15 coaches, could be traced to two different former head coaches, and of those 15 coaches, nine led their teams to a total of 14 different Super Bowl appearances. Leaders raising up other leaders. That's what leaders do. Leaders lead and raise up other leaders. That's the principle of leadership. You look in the Bible, and you look at leaders that failed to raise up leaders to follow in their stead. You look at Nebuchadnezzar. Great king, one of the greatest kings of history, and everything that he did, everything that he conquered. But he failed to train a strong leader to follow up behind him. And how long did it take for Babylon to fall? Not long. You look at Alexander the Great, another great warrior, another great king of history. He failed to train another great leader, and what happened to Greece? It fell. Friends, we have a responsibility to train leaders to lead God's people. Friends, we need to learn, number four and finally, that leadership develops daily, not in a day. Leadership doesn't develop overnight. A man doesn't wake up one morning and decide, I'm going to be a leader today. Friends, becoming a leader is like raising a crop. What matters is what you do day by day by day over the long haul. You have to take care of it. If any of you ever had a garden, you know you have to get out there and pull the weeds or they're going to take over. There's a constant investment in and development of leadership abilities, and that results in the growth of a strong leader. Turn with me to 2 Peter chapter 3 very quickly. 2 Peter chapter 3. So notice with me verse 18. Peter says, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever. Amen. Those of you that have had children, I know it may seem like it, but you don't wake up, you're not sitting here one day and you have a one-year-old and you wake up the next day and you've got an 18-year-old. They don't grow up overnight. It's a daily process, isn't it? They grow day by day, friends. That's how leaders develop. It's a daily process. In 1 Corinthians 9 and verse 27, Paul's talking about keeping himself under control. He says, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection. It's a daily process. And friends, successful leaders are learners. A leader that believes he knows it all doesn't know anything. A leader that's not willing to learn is not fit to lead. Leaders are learners. Matthew 5 and verse 3, blessed are the poor in spirit. Colossians 4 and verse 16, and when this epistle is read among you, cause that it be read also in the church with Laodiceans. And that ye likewise read the epistle from Laodicea. Colossians 4 and verse 16. And 1 Timothy 4 and verse 15. Notice what Paul writes to Timothy. Meditate upon these things, give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. Meditate. Timothy couldn't take the things that Paul had written him and lay his head upon them and just absorb them, could he? He had to study them. He had to learn them. Friends, a man may not be the leader that another man is today, but he might still be a leader, and he can become a greater, stronger, wiser leader if he remembers that leadership develops daily and not in a day. But friends, these are just a few principles of leadership. Let's remember that trust and love are the foundations of leadership. That the true nature of leadership is sacrifice. And friends, if we're going to be leaders in the Lord's church, whether we wear the name of an elder or whether we just have the innate ability to lead, whatever the case may be, let's remember that leaders raise up other leaders. Friends, we've got a responsibility for the Lord's church today and the Lord's church of the future that we train men to be capable leaders in His kingdom. And number four, let's remember that leadership develops daily and not in a day. It doesn't come overnight. It's a daily process. We need leaders. We're going to need leaders each and every day that we live upon this earth. Would you be a leader? Let's put away our Bibles. Let's take out our songbooks. We're ready to sing the invitation song in just a moment. Friends, regardless of a congregation's leadership situation, whether they have elders or they don't, we have one true leader, and that's God Almighty. He is our leader. He is our King. He is the God of heaven. And He's communicated to us His will. He is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to the knowledge of the truth. And friends, that truth is found in His Word, His Bible. And we find written therein the things that one must do to be saved. And if we would follow His leadership, we would obey those things. Contained within God's Word, we find His instruction. That one must believe in His Son, Jesus Christ, that He came to this earth and He bled and died upon the cross for the remission of our sins. He instructs those that believe to repent of their sin, to confess Jesus before men and be baptized, immersed in water for the forgiveness of those sins. Friends, would you follow God? Would you follow His command? Are you here this morning having done so at some point in the past? Has the world grabbed hold of you again? Would you make it turn loose? Would you come home? Would you be His again? Friend, if you have a need to obey the gospel, to repent of sin, or friend, if you just need the prayers of the church, we ask that you come now while we stand and while we sing.